The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I promise it's the real me. I haven't been replaced by three different actors or a different name. Like, I promise it's me.
Yeah, and we're not breaking up. We're staying together forever. Everyone looks at our relationship and they're like, that is what we need to live up to.
I mean, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone looks at our friendship and is like, this is how I know all other friendships are going to last, because we are still friends.
We've made it this far. If a fire sign and a water sign can be friends, so too can you.
Anybody can.
Yeah. But we're here with the, oh my gosh, can you believe we are at the season finale of season 6 of Boy Meets World, meaning we are almost starting the final season of Boy Meets World. I don't know how we got here, to be honest.
We pushed through. We've been working hard, just like how all these couples work hard at their relationship. We did the same. We did the same, you know?
We did, yeah.
I'm really proud of us. People were probably like, they'll never do it. They'd be like, are you really doing every single episode of Boy Meets World?
Yeah, they'll drop out after 2 seasons.
We
no,
do not.
We say no to you, kind people. Actually, sounds like unkind people. We say no. We say we shall finish the whole show. And we are one step further, wrapping up things for season 6. I don't know. It felt finale-ish, but it also felt like a penultimate episode almost. I don't know. It felt kind of, I mean, we leave things a little bit undecided with Corey and Topanga, where first we saw Corey having cold feet last episode. And now Topanga's having a little bit of cold feet, because the relationship that she has looked up to apparently her entire life is her parents, which kind of news to me. I mean, she hasn't lived with them was it just her senior year that she was?
I thought that she moved out like third season.
No, it
maybe fourth season then.
I think she maybe it was like a junior or a senior. I think they say it in this episode. But either way.
Yeah, season four, episode like 15 or 16.
So it's been two seasons, so probably 2 years. So it must have been like beginning of senior year or something. But yeah, her parents are who she idolizes. It's the relationship that she focuses on. And getting some bad news. Bad, bad news this episode.
Yeah.
I don't really know what is going on in the Eric storyline, but we'll talk about it. But I think the headliner for this episode is truly Feeny has found love and he's getting hitched.
Yes.
And we love to see it.
Yes. The question I have is, do you think that Feeny rushed into marriage too quickly?
No. In my opinion, the older you get, the more you're like, I know what I want. I think that's why we're seeing Topanga and Corey struggle a little bit. They're very young and they're getting married. And I think you're bound to have more doubts. By the time you reach Feeny's age, I can tell you myself, by the time I reached the age at which I got married, I was like, no, I know what I want now. I don't feel like I did when I was in my 20s, like my early 20s, where I was like, you know, you kind of want to see what's out there. By the time you're Feeny, you're like, psh, I could keel over tomorrow. Like, if you love somebody, you got to take that risk with them.
I guess that's totally true. And they seem to really love each other. They don't want to waste any time. So they're going to get married in the most romantic place ever, the Matthews living room.
Okay. This is some trash because we'll get into it, but like, seriously, I feel like the courthouse would even be nicer than this.
Well, this is the dean of the university. I am sure Pembroke has a lovely campus with historic buildings.
Oh my God, you're spot on. They probably have a nice garden or Feeny's freaking garden that he's always pruning up.
But no. They're going to get married in the Matthews living room. It is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. So let's talk through this episode because there's a decent bit going on. The first thing we find out is Topanga's really excited because somebody canceled at the banquet hall and now there's an open date. And she says, how would you like to get married on the 4th of July? And Corey says, yeah, married on Independence Day? How ironic. How do you feel about a holiday wedding?
Oh, gosh, you know, in theory, it sounds like a really good idea because you're like, oh, I want to spend the holiday with all my friends anyway or family anyway. It kind of kills two birds with one stone. I think that the issue is that it is convenient for you, but it's not convenient for everybody else. So you know what I mean? Like for your friends and family, it's not convenient because they have their own plans. They want to do their own thing. I think that to hijack somebody's like holiday plans is really rude. I mean, what do you think about it?
I'm pretty much spot on with exactly what you said in that like most, especially 4th of July, that is a big travel holiday. It's smack dab in the middle of the summer. So people usually have plans. I think that for a different holiday, maybe it's not as big of a deal. But if I'm being honest, I feel like you shouldn't be getting married on holidays or holiday weekends at all. Yeah. Just because it really, you're just assuming that people don't have anything better to do than attend your wedding. Well, it's usually not the case. Usually people have these plans planned out pretty far in advance. So
what about like even a New Year's party? In theory, sounds like a very fun time. Like how fun would it be to have all of your friends and family?
Yeah. And New Year's is a lesser holiday. You know what I mean? Like you shouldn't get married on like big stuff like Christmas, 4th of July,
Thanksgiving.
Right? Thanksgiving, exactly. But if you want to get married on like, yeah, on New Year's, I feel like that's fine. If you want to even get married,
people won't like it though.
No, people, I still think you could pick so many other days and like why choose the holiday, you know?
Because it's cheaper, because then you can have in theory.
Is it cheaper though? I feel like it's more expensive. Like it's cheaper to do like a weekday wedding.
I always thought it was cheaper.
Maybe it is. Maybe we're wrong. Who knows? If you got married on a holiday, we truly mean no offense to you. Topanga is just like, So Corey tells Topanga he's been having the anti-marriage dreams. And everything like doesn't come out well. Like they get married, they end up in the poorhouse. And there's a sign on the front that says the poorhouse.
It's so stupid. My worst dream is to end up in the poorhouse, but I already live there.
You do not live in the poorhouse. You're
I live
in the house
in the poorhouse.
But yeah, and apparently the execution room was called the Topanga room, and the executioner was Topanga, and there were chopped off heads that were Corey's heads. These sound far worse than the dreams that we saw in the last episode, I gotta say.
Really? Because I just think that all these dreams are getting worse and worse and worse. Chopped up heads, strangulation, like all this stuff. He's losing it.
Yeah. And Topanga's like, are you sure? Because like, are you sure you want to get married? I look at our parents and they got married when they were young and they still love each other more than they ever did. And so this is really, really tough. I will say Corey and Topanga, at least currently, before we get to the later scene, have parents that are still married. They both sets of parents got married young and both sets of parents are still married. That's a pretty like it's pretty unlikely statistically. Yeah. I will say that like being someone coming from a family where my parents also got married very young. My mom was 18 when they got married. My dad was 21. So they were both very, very young when they got married. They're still together. It is something that kind of it puts the pressure on in a very specific way of like, gosh, you have so much to live up to, right? So I can appreciate that Topanga feels this way, that she sees that, well, it worked out with our parents, so why can't it work out with us, right? Like, right. I feel like that makes sense for her to feel that way.
Right, absolutely. I'm curious, So did you feel that sort of pressure to get married when you were super young?
Yeah, when I was young, I definitely, it wasn't that I felt pressure to get married. It was more of like pressure to find the person that I wanted to be with because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm behind. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like yeah. You feel like your parents are so far ahead because they've been with each other for so long. But yeah, I think that as I got older, I definitely got over it more, but being that I kind of felt that way around the same time that Topanga is like at the age Topanga is, I could totally relate to that, especially because she's been with Corey for so long that I'm sure to her, it feels like, well, why not just get married? We love each other and we right. want to spend the rest of our lives together.
Are your parents lovey-dovey like after all this time? How many years have they been married?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Let me think. So my dad is 21. I just turned 31, which means he just turned 61. So 40 years.
That's an incredible amount of time.
Yeah. It's a lot of time. I think like, they're, you know, me and you know, my like style, right? They're probably more like me in terms of like, they're
your
not making out
so
in front
nice.
Of us. My mom is very nice. My mom is very, very nice. Both my parents are pretty nice. But no, they still get along. Of course, they fight like parents fight, couples fight.
Is it about you? Like, oh, that Jessica, she's...
Oh, never, no.
She ruins her life.
They fight because they're people with very different personalities. And, you know, that's the way it is. And my dad can be stubborn and, you know, it's just the way it is. But no, I think it's just, I think it's totally different than, I think it's a different issue than... Either it can scar you in the same ways that having parents that are divorced can scar you, right? Where you don't necessarily have a couple to look up to. Like Sean, we've talked about, he's used Corey and Topanga as his way of like, this is what love should look like. Whereas Corey and Topanga have looked at their own sets of parents. And right. So it's like, it can do damage in different ways. I'm not saying I'm damaged, but like I definitely had a very skewed perception of love when I was younger, because in my opinion, it was my parents found each other in high school. Like, okay, I must have to do that too. Most yeah. people don't do that. Most people are not that lucky to find who they want to be with in high school and stay with that person for this many years.
They're high school sweethearts.
Yeah. They started dating when my mom was, 14, I think.
Holy guacamole.
It's really unlikely. Like, that's the thing. It's so unlikely that that would happen. And so it's one of those. And it's funny because my husband's parents are still married, too. So we're really, really rare, I would say, mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of the world. But it doesn't take the pressure off anymore. And I do think that, like, Topanga is struggling with this. And I could totally understand Topanga's struggles because last she knew her parents were happy and in love, and she's about to get a really rude awakening. So this isn't Topanga drops like, oh, BT dubs, parents are coming into town. They want to chat about the wedding.
We need a month like heads up, don't we?
I mean, I feel like at least like a week. Like they literally, what, were they arriving that same day? Like this is insane.
It's not right. Yeah. I need time. I don't even think that I can do. Probably I could do a week prior, but it would stress me out.
Well,
like,
yeah.
If you give me 3 weeks to a month, then I would be a lot happier about the arrival.
I definitely agree. I think in this case, because Corey and Topanga are so young, it's not like they have like a house they have to clean to get ready, right? Like it's a little bit different, but still very stressful.
A dorm room that they have to put together. And
Topanga says, well, I want to be able to tell them we've set a date. And it's just like, Topanga, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think, what are they in their fall semester of college? This is their first semester. Is that right? Or are they going to be done with the first semester by the end of this season? Well, I guess we're done with the season.
I think that, did we even have Christmas yet? Did we have anything? There was no holidays.
We did Christmas.
We did have Christmas.
We had Christmas. So they must have finished their first semester.
Yeah.
Then.
So this is, they're definitely over with the first semester and they're probably like mid second semester, spring semester.
Okay. So to me, that's insanity then to be like, hey, do you want a July 4th wedding? We have a few months.
Well, yeah, it was a cancellation. So they have a few months to plan it. And
I don't know. They're so young. Like, is it just me? Am I crazy for thinking you could take a couple of years to plan your wedding when you're this young? Like, what's the rush?
Sex. That's what it is.
That's true.
The impetus of why these characters are so plagued about getting married so soon.
Yeah. Just as they're talking about this, Feeny and the Dean come up and they're like, we're getting married on Sunday. Just a simple ceremony at the Justice of the Peace.
Yeah. Well, they can commit because they've already had sex and they know it's good. So they're like, yeah, we're going to do it.
That's true. That's true. They have.
So good for them. And then I love how, what was it? They were like, Feeny, are you scared? And Feeny was like, absolutely not. But then he's like, yes, to Corey.
Well, I think that's a different type of scared for Feeny because he hasn't been married in so long that I'm sure he's like a little bit nervous about. And and also, gosh, it's so different, right? When you think about Feeny and you think about how like set his life is, right? He has his own home. Like he has things his way and he has had them that way for a very long time. So I feel like it's a much different type of scared because I feel like he's confident in the relationship. But you're still moving in with someone. You're still joining lives with someone, you know?
That's what I'm curious about. Like, what's the logistics of this marriage? Is, you know, the Dean moving in with Feeny? Is Feeny moving out of the house? Are they going to have two different homes? Like, I really want to know what the situation is.
I think Eric would literally lose his mind if Feeny moved out of the house from next
door. Oh, yeah. The Dean would be... I don't know. The Dean's windows for her car would be smashed in.
Definitely. So yeah, this is really exciting news. I feel like we've been wanting this for Feeny for so long, and I'm really happy that they did just decide like immediately we're just gonna have them get married because why not? You know, especially because this is William Daniels' like legit wife too, so it's even cuter.
It is cute. I was thinking when they had their ceremony in a bit, it's like, what happens if they really did, you know, redo their vows and have like a nice little ceremony?
That must
like
be
how
so
sweet
nice,
would
right?
that be? Yeah.
So Feeny and the Dean go to talk to Amy and Alan about their wedding, and they say just a simple ceremony at the Justice of the Peace. And freaking Amy butts her face in, and she's just like, oh, Alan, they should have it here. And it's like, why?
Okay. It's conspiracy theory. You know how new mothers don't want to bring their babies anywhere? because they're worried about their babies getting sick.
Okay, but why bring a bunch of randos into your house to get your baby sick?
Excellent point. But also it's just much more convenient to just leave baby Joshua at home and have the wedding at home.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's very true. And I really, really hate when people do this. Obviously, this is the 90s and it's different now. But I really, really hate when people are like, oh my gosh, you should have a big wedding. Everyone wants to see you get married. It's like, don't put pressure on me. Like, don't put pressure on me to make it a show, because not for nothing, that's not what it's about. It is about bringing two lives together. That is two people. Maybe if you want to say it's bringing two families together, it's whatever. But it can't happen without those two people. All you need is those two people and someone to marry you. That's three people that you need there. This like really is like a sticks in my craw.
I'm pretty sure you need a witness.
Well, you need witnesses. Whatever. Yeah. You need five people. Who cares? The point is that you definitely don't need to have everybody and their cousin there. And I really don't like when people say that.
Okay. Fine. Nobody's allowed at the wedding. Everyone's kicked out of Feeny's wedding.
Everyone wants to be there. You can't rob them of that. And I love how Feeny's just like, no one cares. Like, I'm surprised she cares. He's talking about the dean. They're so in love. I love how like the whole scene, they're like holding hands and all like smiley at each other. It's really cute.
I
feel like we've never seen Feeny this happy before.
Feeny's never been this happy. Feeny, I think, really hates kids in general. Like, I think he loves teaching, but he hates kids. So I think that now that he's in a college setting, he's probably a little bit happier.
Well, also, if people don't do their homework, it's like, who cares? You just fail them. Like, you're not as responsible, I feel like, when you're – I don't mean to say you don't have as much responsibility over, like, kids' lives like you do in grade schools, you know?
Yeah.
Corey just butts on in, and he's just like, get out of here. You know, you got to leave. Take your chick with you. I love Alan. Alan's just like, have you lost your mind? Can't talk to Feeny like that. But he's like, no, this is an emergency. The in-laws are coming. And for some reason, this gets Feeny to leave immediately. Like, why is Feeny afraid of Topanga's parents coming?
Just like the in-laws. Maybe he's just afraid that, well, actually, was it the aunt that was like kind of mean to him?
That was Topanga's aunt. They had a disagreement.
Yeah. So maybe he's like, ooh, Topanga's family is scary.
Well, also Topanga like chased him around once when he wouldn't give her an A, remember?
Maybe he's just afraid of her in general.
He's afraid of anything that genetically created her.
Well, okay. So is this when we see the parents?
Not yet. So this is just Corey is like being very nervous and frantic and like fluffing pillows. And he's just like, they used to be Topanga's parents. Now they're the in-laws and they're going to hate me because grandma hates you. And also he also is very, very nervous. And I don't really blame him for this. He's very nervous. They're going to resent him because Topanga didn't go to Yale.
That and even further resent the fact that she did not move to Pittsburgh with them.
Exactly. Because of
Corey. So I think that's a legitimate fear from Corey. Typically, Corey's fears are a little, you know, unjust and a little loony. Yeah. But I think this is a legitimate fear. I mean, it's not necessarily true. Topanga is like kind of an adult. She made her own decisions for herself. But yeah, I would be afraid of this situation as well, especially if they haven't had a conversation since Topanga made those decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting that this is the first time they're kind of seeing each other since all of that went down, because obviously they're not really present. They don't even live here. Corey is prepared. He has made flashcards for his parents. What do you think of what's on these flashcards? So Alan is not allowed to do impressions, which, I mean, if you ask me if I thought Alan was a big impressions guy prior to this episode, I'd be like, absolutely not.
This is his party trick. Who knew?
And it's terrible. It's truly awful. And he's like, no one even knows when you're doing impressions. You're not allowed to do them. And then Amy is not allowed to sing to the baby, which I feel like is a bit more hurtful than the do not do impressions thing.
Really? I think it's just like, don't sing in general.
I mean, I also kind of I don't know. It feels a little awkward to me. This is maybe this goes along with my weird thing about PDA. It's a little awkward to me to like be singing to your baby in front of like a room full of people.
It's did you say rude?
No, it's awkward.
Okay.
No, yeah, it's not rude. It's awkward, though.
I guess it is awkward. Is it rude? Probably not. Is it awkward? No. I guess. I don't know. Well, I think that you and your baby can do whatever you and your baby wants. You know, I'm not going to fight the moms on this. They have their own issues, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. They have to stick to the conversation topics that Corey has written. And it's Alan gets bridges and patio furniture, and Amy gets peaches and slip covers.
Okay.
These are so ridiculously specific.
Okay. I don't know why this show has completely wiped Jedediah of like any of his existence. Old personality. Because we know Jedediah. We've met him. He's a musician. We know that he plays guitar with like the other monkeys. Like we know all this stuff. Why are they, you know, they like rewrote the story. We know that they're artsy folk. I don't know why they like, I don't know who these imposters are.
This is the thing that this show struggles with so much is like continuity, right? We've talked about it in the past, and here it's coming up for a very different reason where we have Jedediah and Rhiannon, and obviously we're like completely wiping the slate clean in terms of casting, but Jedediah was very like granola, earthy, granola, loved music, made guitars, not for nothing. But like this guy ain't it. Like this guy is not Jedediah. They've completely like wiped away any. He just feels like a grump. Like that's basically his entire personality.
It's so weird that this is what they went with. And it once again, it's like real trying to erase the fact that where Topanga came from. But the only thing that you keep is, I don't know, more earthy sounding names. Like this man and this woman did not have a child named Nebula. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. And for those who maybe didn't rewatch the episode, Michael McKean who is playing Topanga's dad, very famous actor, very well known. For me, he is Chuck on Better Call Saul. This is a very serious actor. Like he looks like he plays a serious guy, and he does not fit the bill of what we're looking for in a Jedediah. Fantastic actor. I'm not saying that he didn't like portray whatever they gave him on the script. It's that this is not the Jedediah that we know. I feel very similarly about Rhiannon, who has a different name because her old name is Chloe. And she is played by, I recognize her from the show Smallville. I'm not sure if you,
no, everybody was that. In Smallville, weren't they?
Yeah. Annette O'Toole. She played the mom, Martha Kent, in Smallville. Very sweet, very similar to how I feel Rhiannon comes off in this episode. Her, I could kind of buy as Topanga's parent. It just felt very off, though.
Yeah, I don't necessarily remember meeting Chloe or Rhiannon.
We've at least heard her name as Chloe, but I don't know that we've ever met her. I'm trying to remember. I'll look it up.
I don't think we've met her, but obviously we've seen Topanga's dad a lot. We saw him in the episode where remember when they brought the Bring Your Dad to Work Day? Where they had the presentations. Yes. We saw him there.
Yep.
We saw him when he played with the monkeys. I just don't know. Like, if they couldn't get that actor, fine. No problem. Like, you know, shit happens. But why can't they just find somebody that kind of fits that outline? You can still have two people disagree and have it not work out without rechanging their personalities entirely.
Yeah. It's really, yeah. So it looks like it looks like we've only ever seen Jedediah before. Rhiannon / Chloe is completely new. But it's very jarring. It's very disjointed. It just feels awkward and they don't fit as Topanga's parents at all. So they come inside and he like Corey immediately, the first thing he says is, "I'm sorry, your daughter gave up Yale for me."
Way to bury the lead. Yeah.
And Jedediah, again, I feel like he's so much more of a dick than the old one was. He says, "Oh, four generations of Lawrences at Yale are plenty." Like,
once again, ugh. I don't think that's ever going. That's not true. I feel like Topanga had no real reason why she was applying to Yale, except for the fact, like, I feel like she wanted to see if she could. Like, I don't know if she ever expected to go to Yale. And I don't see the Lawrences being Yaleans.
Yaleans, that's fun. No, I'm with you. It doesn't feel like that would be important to them. Like, yes, they want their daughters to succeed, but did they feel like an Ivy League family? No. Definitely not. Then we're with Eric here, and we get, like, for one of the only times, feels like in the entire series, a Sean and Eric scene. I feel like we've talked about this where we were surprised there isn't more one-on-ones.
So in the podcast Pod Meets World, they actually explain that a little.
And do they?
Mm-hmm, and it's because the actors, Will Friedle and Ryder Strong, they're best friends in real life. They're really close. Whenever they were on set together, they just made each other laugh so much that they could not get through
a break.
Yeah, they couldn't get through a scene. So the writers were like, "We can't write scenes for you."
And I do think that the show is like doing like a cute little meta moment when he's like, "Oh, hey, do you want to talk? What, you and me? We can do that." Like, doesn't it feel like that? Because they're like, "No, we never have before. Not in the last 6 years. Not even when we lived together." And it's like, it feels like the show is poking fun at it. So we get this moment for Eric where he's just like, "You know what? My life really sucks. Like, I lost my apartment. I lost Rachel. I lost my best friend, Jack, Rachel." And now he says he's about to lose Feeny and he's feeling all sorts of ways about it. Yeah.
That's what he was like, Jack. He was really funny in this scene. He really is like having such a rough go. And we don't know where he's living at this moment, do we?
No, because last we saw he left the crazy man's apartment, the guy with the dead bird. And we don't know where he ended up.
He's probably couch crashing, going to everybody's houses, sleeping on the couch.
Maybe he snuck into Feeny's house. Maybe Feeny has been staying with the dean and he snuck into Feeny's house and has been secretly 110%. Living there. They should have done that as a storyline B.
That would have been great. That would have been they were like, "Oh, we gotta Dean Bowman, we need to take the guest bedroom and make it into your office now that you're living here."
Exactly.
And then you see remnants of Eric. And he's like, "Yes. Eric, what are you doing here?"
Maybe they were like, "We don't want to rebuild the Feeny set, so we're not going to do that."
Yeah, it would be a totally different house. And they'd be like, "Look, this is the set that's been the whole time."
Yeah. And Sean says, "Well, Eric, I lost something that means more to me than any of that, and I managed to survive." Eric says, "You mean your dead dad, Sean?" He's like, "You're a sensitive guy."
He's being like, such a butt face. I thought that he was gonna say Angela, actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like I think
it was probably dead
losing
dad.
Yeah. Eric goes on to talk about, like, "Oh, I wish Rachel could see how much I love her." And I love Sean saying, like, do you think you'd actually make a good couple? And he's like, "Well, she's so pretty." And he's like, "Right." But this is where we're getting into the Sean that is like the eventual Sean, where he's very like in touch with who he is and like his emotions. And he's a writer. Yeah. Right. And so he says, "Well, what about her personality makes her your ideal woman? What about her attracts you spiritually?" And all he could say is, "She's just so pretty."
Okay. Something more. You can think of something more. He couldn't even think of anything about the personality or anything. He was really just dickmatized.
Yeah. He was vaginatized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant.
bejazzled. He'd be stigmatized by Jack.
Yeah, maybe.
But really what it was is that it was all a competition between him and Jack. And Sean notices that. He's like, you care about all this competition way more than you care about her. And he's like, you know what? I could have won. I could have cheated. He cheated. And he's like, because Dad died? He's like, yeah, he was grieving. Chicks dig people that are grieving. And he's like, listen, I'm really sorry. I know this was your dad, but it was a fix. And we get this moment from Sean, which again feels completely unearned in my opinion, because he was only gone for like 2 weeks.
But yeah, his whole life, like, you know, thought process has changed now that he had 1 week away.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I took off in my dad's trailer. I had a moment that everything became clear. I was looking at the night skies and I felt like a tiny little speck. And then I decided that while I'm here, I want to be with my friends and family and everyone that I love. And when I'm with my friends, I don't feel small. That's what I figured out. And I'm just like, but he was gone for a week. Like, can we stop acting like this was some huge earth-shattering revelation for Sean?
A 1 week in Boy Meets World time is like 5 months. That's
I think they could have fixed this. You know, I think they could have fixed this, and all they had to say was, my dad dying was what I needed to realize what's important. I think he could still go on the trip, but I think if they just changed the wording of the episode, then they could fix it. Like, change the wording of the script. All he needs to say is, it took my dad dying for me to realize what's important and to, like, stick close to the people that I love. And that's what I want my life to be about. You know what I mean? Like, I just think, like, you're talking about looking at the night sky.
And you can really make a huge difference in it making sense in this narrative.
Yeah. And so Sean's like, yeah, that was for me. So maybe you need to figure stuff out. And Eric's like, you know what? I'm glad you came back. This was a nice talk. We should do this again sometime.
Yeah, I'll see you in like 3 more seasons. We're never going to talk again.
Yeah. And I also couldn't help. I don't know if it was just me, but this entire conversation they're having while drinking, like, bottles that looked like Coca-Cola, but I think it was just cola. And I couldn't stop staring at them.
Yeah. What? Okay. So there's never been a brand that just said cola, right? This was such a 90s thing to just be like, cola. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was bottle. Like that's what everyone can call their stuff. That everyone can call it cola. Like, if you went to your closest grocery store right now and you went inside and you looked for the store brand version of Coca-Cola, it would always be red. It's always going to be red because they want you to think it's like Coke. Right. But I can't stop staring at these bottles that look so much like an old school Coke.
What label does cola actually mean? And it's one of those words when you say it enough, it just is nothingness.
Sounds weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cola. I have no idea. I just know that's what everyone calls, like, just like Sprite. It's really just like lemon lime, you know? but yeah, I can't stop staring at these cola bottles. And I love how they like clink them together at the end. It's a very nice scene. Like, I wish, it makes me wish we had more Sean and Eric scenes in the past.
So are you blaming the actors for this?
I'm 100% blaming them.
Be professionals, boys.
Yeah, hold it together. So let's stop here. Let's go to a quick ad break before we break everyone's hearts by talking about Topanga's parents. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Topanga and Cody.
Like, I don't think that I'm heartbroken that they are getting along.
I think it's sad to watch how upset Topanga is. More so than it is. It's more uncomfortable to watch her parents, to be honest.
That's true.
They're watching them. They're like, oh my gosh, everything is going great. They're loving each other. One big happy family. And this is when Corey drops the bomb that he gave them cards to help with talking points. And so when they go out into the living room, I feel like they're having a perfectly normal conversation about television.
Yeah,
that's a very normal conversation.
That's safe. It's safe. It's not like they're starting to get into politics or religion or anything like that. You can veer away from, what was it? Patio furniture, peaches,
and bridges.
Yeah, I think covers, those topics. I could, if I had to, I could probably talk about peaches for 5 minutes.
5 minutes feels long to talk about peaches. I thought you were going to say, I feel like you could talk more about patio furniture.
I could talk about patio furniture. I like peaches. I'm kind of allergic to them, but I just keep eating them.
And you're allergic to them? What happens?
My mouth gets like super itchy.
Ooh.
And my lips kind of swell up a little bit. But I really like peaches.
It's like your own personal lip plumper. You could just eat
exactly.
A peach.
So I kind of just push through.
I like peaches, but I think the flaw with peaches is anything with a pit in the middle annoys me to no end.
Why?
Because at least with like an apple, when you're eating it, you can hold the top and the bottom and then you could throw it away. With like a peach or a plum, what do you even hold on to? There's nothing left by the time you get to the middle except this stupid freaking pit that you have to throw away. It's so annoying. And they don't travel very well either.
That's such like a petty thing to complain about. Justice for peaches. Do you know that there's like this peach business where, I don't know, it's called like Perfect Peach or something. And then they come to random locations like mall parking lots and you sign up for your case of peaches. And then you show up at the mall parking lot and you get your case of peaches. I really want to do it.
I'm very confused by this. Do they travel the United States? Like, what are you talking about? They travel all over the United States selling these peaches.
Yes.
This is ridiculous. Does peaches travel well? Like, how do you, don't they have to have a farm somewhere?
Yeah, I know they do. But the thing is that they like pick them and then you go. And
are they really the perfect peaches though?
They say it. They say that they're the juiciest peaches.
All right. Are they from Georgia?
Really,
if they're not, then I don't believe them.
It's called, I think it's called the peach truck.
That would be an appropriate name for it.
Yeah.
I do like the taste of peaches, but can I tell you something weird? As I've gotten older, I really hate artificial peach. Like, I will not drink, like, you know how, like, iced tea, there's, like, peach-flavored iced tea? I cannot do it.
That's my
favorite.
I can't
do peach seltzer. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I can't do peach-flavored things anymore. I can eat a peach, but I cannot do
fuzzy peaches, the candy?
Yeah, I'd eat those.
Oh, okay. I like peach-flavored things. It's actually my favorite artificial flavor.
They were so different. How is it that we've made it this far together?
I don't know. If anybody wants to sponsor us, thepeachtruck.com, that would be really great. Because I really want to get these peaches.
Mm-hmm. At least they're not the like $80 peaches. Or were those pears? I can't remember. That you buy from like Harry and David or whatever the hell.
Remember we found that? And then remember when we found the chocolate covered jalapeno peppers?
Yes. And that sent you so over the nasty. Edge. It's so vile.
Yeah. I know. I never tried them, but I'm very interested in them.
I would never. I would literally, I mean, besides the fact that I can't handle spice, there's nothing that sounds appetizing about jalapenos like
dipped in chocolate. Yeah, it's fucking disgusting. But I would try it.
So anyway, we find out Jedediah's hot take is that the only good show that was ever on television was Alf.
That's a hot take.
It's a shitty take. And we have Topanga's mom being like, nobody watches Alf. It's not even on anymore. And he's like, well, that's my point. There's nothing good. And she's like, what's the matter with Alec McBeal? And he says she has no passion for the law. And she takes issues with her husband's comments on television in front of other people. And then Rhiannon's like, she's not even married. And he's like, and she never will be.
Have you ever seen Ally McBeal?
Never in my life.
Oh, I really like Ally McBeal. That is actually something that we should consider covering because it's fun. It's an adventure.
Let's see how many seasons do you think Ally McBeal had?
I think it had 5 seasons.
It did. It is a drama from 1997. It had 5 seasons. The legal comedy drama.
I watched it. Would you consider watching the pilot of Ally McBeal?
Yeah, I consider watching the pilot. Yeah. Definitely. I see some notable faces on here.
Yeah, Ally McBeal. No, Clarissa Flockhart, Lucy Liu, Ellen DeGeneres' wife, Robert Downey Jr. was in it. And oh my gosh. Okay, well, this is kind of a spoiler, but Robert Downey Jr. dated Ally McBeal. And everybody was obsessed with the relationship. It was like the best relationship on television ever. Like everybody was like, yes, we love it. They're perfect. And then if you remember in the 90s, Robert Downey Jr. had a drug problem.
Yes, I do remember that.
The relationship had to end. He wasn't able to like be on the show anymore. He wasn't able to film. So he like just like ditched Ally McBeal. And it was the most heartbreaking, heart-wrenching thing in the galaxy. Because they were the best relationship ever. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard of that. That's absolutely wild. But yeah. Jedediah hates Ally McBeal.
I love and Ally McBeal, Jedediah.
I was like, I felt like Jedediah sucks. Like, there's nothing likable about him. No. He's like, oh, she'll never get a husband. It's like, okay, calm down, calm down.
I think she did. I think that she did. I'm not good. Positive.
Good for her.
But actually, never mind. That's more spoilers. I really want to talk about Ally McBeal. That was one of my favorite childhood. It's not really a child show, but I watched it with my parents.
I was going to say, it was like a drama.
No, I watched it with my parents, and it was like one of my favorite things that I used to watch that I probably wasn't supposed to be watching with my parents.
Yeah. And friggin' Alan is trying to break the tension by doing Johnny Carson impressions, and then he's trying to do like Ed McMahon impressions, and they're all so bad. And Jedediah says, that was hideous. Do another one. And this is when, again, Rhiannon says, oh, I thought it was fine. And he was like, he was just like, oh, I was just having a little fun with him. And they're getting into like a little bit of an argument. And
yeah, it's getting really awkward.
It's getting very tense. Yeah. Rhiannon's like, I didn't mean to scold. I just thought you were being rude. And he's like, I wasn't being rude. Rude is how you chose to interpret it, honey. And it's
that's rude.
I feel like it's Jedediah is the one that's making things really awful.
He's being really condescending.
He is. And he's complete. This is what I'm saying is like, he's completely night and day from the original Jedediah. Oh, yeah. So then we have like Amy going up and soothing Joshua with a little lullaby, and Corey's yelling at her. And then freaking Alan is doing another impression. Corey's just like, everybody needs to just stop.
I really do think that the lullabies are like at the bottom of the list of an issue.
I'm with you. I think everyone's a parent in this room, you know, like no one's judging Amy for doing what she needs to sue the baby. So Jedediah is like, just drop it. We'll talk about it later. And he's like, well, just the trouble is if we drop something, it doesn't mean it goes away. And so they're like, oh, okay, let's go have some dessert. But Topanga wants to make an announcement. But instead of getting to make an announcement, Jedediah leaves to get a little bit of air. And of course, we see Rhiannon go after him. And Topanga's like very concerned. Like I don't think she's ever seen anything like this before. If I had to guess, I feel like they didn't really start having problems until Topanga wasn't around, or if they did, they were always hiding them from her.
I totally agree with it. And also, a lot of the times you have kids and you stay for the kids and things like that. And I think that that's probably something that also is going on between the two of them.
Yeah. And Corey, of course, blames the fact that they didn't stick to the cards because he's Corey. Topanga asks her mom, you know, what's wrong? What's going on? What's wrong with dad? She's like, oh, daddy and I have been together a long time. And Topanga is like, yeah, exactly. I've been telling Corey. He really wants me to reassure him. Our relationship will last forever. And all I have to do is tell him about you guys. And I really did love her mom's, like what her mom says here, even if she wasn't having issues with her husband, I feel like it's really nice advice to say, like, every relationship lives on its own. What you each bring to it is what sustains it. You don't need to look at any other relationships as an example. I just really thought that was like really great advice regardless of their situation.
I do too, especially because it's so easy if you're having your own relationship issues to... you speak negatively about love or not be very supportive. You know, it could have been very easy for Rhiannon to be negative in this situation. So I do think that it's very fair and nice of her and good parenting to be like, you know, just because we are good doesn't mean that, you know, all relationships are good. Just because we're not doing well doesn't mean that all relationships are bad.
Exactly. And so she's like, oh, it's going to be so hard for me and Corey to live up to you guys, but we're going to try. And she goes back into the living room. Her dad comes back in and apologizes. He's like, oh, it was such a long drive from Pittsburgh. And they're like, okay, great. We have a wedding to plan. Topanga leaves the room and Rhiannon is just like, oh, did you get enough air? And it's very obvious that there's like so much tension between them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really suffocating. I think that they really needed to get out and kind of collaborate what they're going through, because they're just making everything an awkward situation. And honestly, they haven't seen Topanga in a really long time. They, in my opinion, I think that they should kind of focus on their child and kind of put their petty dramas aside for a different day.
Yeah, definitely. Then we get to Rachel and Jack, who are sharing a cup with two straws on the couch.
Okay, is that okay? Well, hold on. Do you have a problem with them, that the fact that they're sharing a drink, or do you have a problem with the fact that they're sharing a drink with two straws?
Both. I don't understand.
You don't share drinks with Will?
I have my own drink.
You're never like, hi, can I have a sip of your water?
I've definitely done that, but I'm not sitting on the couch next to him drinking out of the same cup. There's a difference. If he's like, if we go to a restaurant and he orders like a fancy bev, I would ask for a sip just to see how it tastes.
Yeah.
But we're not like putting a cup between us and putting two straws in it. Like it's the 50s and we're sharing a milkshake. This is ridiculous.
They're just cozy on the couch. They're having a beautiful time.
You know, my problem is with their relationship. I thought that like, I liked the start of it. Right. I liked that it evolved out of comfort. It evolved out of Rachel grieving, Jack grieving and Rachel comforting him.
Yes.
What I don't like is that all we've seen since is literally they just make out all the time. That's all they do. They only make out.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they have anything? Does Jack know anything about her personality, or is it still that, like, he's just very attracted to her?
I think based on the conversation that's about to happen, I don't think he knows a ton about her. It doesn't seem like they've done a lot.
This relationship is not viable then.
It doesn't seem like it. They talk about sharing spaghetti like Lady and the Tramp, and it's just like, that sounds so fucking gross to me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I did. I've never done that.
I've never done that either. You know what else? Anytime you slurp spaghetti, you're going to make a mess and it's red sauce and it's just going to stain. And I just feel like you're going to stain things.
Are you anti slurping pasta?
Oh, I am 100%. That is something maybe you don't know about me, because I don't feel like it would come up like in conversation. I hate food noises. When people slurp their soup, I want to cut their face off.
Oh, I've never really heard you complain about food noises before.
When people – it's people slurping their soup and it's people chewing with their mouth open. It gets under my skin in such a major way. So leaving the tramping it with spaghetti is not up my alley. Not even a little bit.
Wow. Okay.
I know. It's a big thing.
Yeah. I hope that I'm a quiet eater around you. I think I am.
Yeah, I would have noticed it, because we've eaten meals together and you were not a loud eater. They're like, I can be forgiving about like chips, right? Like chips are loud food. It's not like you can control the crunch of the chip, but like, you don't need to slurp soup. You could just put it in your gullet. Like you just scoop it into your mouth. That's it. You don't need to slurp it off the spoon.
No, I promise I won't slurp soup near you.
Eric stops by. And they're like, oh, it was a normal night. You didn't interrupt anything. That we were reading the Bible. And he's like, oh, great, because I wanted to give you my blessing. He starts off, he's like, I'm not going to try to make you feel bad or uncomfortable. And then he sees the cup and he's like, two straws.
I feel like that's less intimate than one straw, though. But still.
But if it was one straw, he would think it was just one person's cup.
Then he would know. Right.
Yeah. And he's like, you know what? Seriously, forget about it. I'm genuinely happy for both of you. And he starts talking about when Rachel first moved in. And he's like, oh, don't you remember? We were so excited when she first moved in. And Rachel tries to leave, which I feel like is a good move. Like, she doesn't need to be a part of this.
Correct. Yeah.
And he's like, the second we saw her, we both wanted her. He's like, I've been a fool this whole time. I've been thinking I'm so in love with Rachel. But you know what? I don't even know her. He was like, I was just thinking about what she was going to wear, getting a smell of her hair. She has that cute little laugh. And yeah, it's just like, he's just like, I realized that after I moved out, it was just the competition that was exciting.
Do you think that this is true though?
To a certain extent, yes. I think that a lot of the problem here is that Eric doesn't like that Jack beat him. That Eric, think about it. We've known Eric since season one, where he was the ladies' man of all ladies' men.
Correct, yeah.
They've completely changed his character now, but we have to still remember that even if they want to try to feed us bullshit continuity crap, we know the real Eric. We know Eric was a ladies' man. It must be really hard for him to not get the girl he was going after.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. So I think that's true. I think that it's something that he's not used to. He's not like the hot guy on campus mm-hmm. like he used to be. So I guess I understand what he's going through in this sense. But I do think that also he had a crush on Rachel.
Oh, I'm not saying there were no feelings there. I certainly yeah. think there were feelings. But I also think he was projecting a lot, too. Like he thought he's like, oh, she's the perfect girl. And then he didn't get her. And then it made it worse because he couldn't really be friends with Jack because he also lost to Jack. And what Jack says here to me is what says, like, he really doesn't. It's not he doesn't care about Rachel. He does. But he doesn't know her that well because he says, like, oh, yeah, I won that one. And it's just like,
yeah, it's gross. Nope. Right. You didn't it's so you gross. Don't win people.
No, especially like you can't just say like it's like she's not a prize. She's a human being. And Eric says, oh, I just came over to tell you guys I'm so happy for you. And it feels so good to finally get this off my chest. So I'll see you later. And he leaves. And it's like, I feel like there's just like this tension in the air after he leaves because of what Jack said.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Jack kind of messed up in this. He shouldn't have said this stuff.
He definitely shouldn't have. Like, no girl wants to feel like she was just a prize in some competition. Like, it's supposed to be a mutual relationship. It just feels so gross what he said. And then we're back to Corey and Topanga, and they're talking about the hall that they want to get married at, and they want her parents to come see. It's going to be so beautiful. And then we get to hear the stories of the two sets of parents, like weddings. And we find out Amy and Alan eloped. I feel like we've heard this once before.
Along those lines.
We at the very least knew that Amy's parents were against their marriage because they Correct. Were so young.
Correct. Yeah.
We've been married for 23 years. So Eric is what, like 20 or 21 or so, maybe? No, he's older than that. I think he's 23.
Why do you think he's 23?
Because isn't he like substantially older than Corey?
5 years older than Corey.
Well, maybe he's 3 years.
Or 3 to 5 years older than Corey. It changed a little.
Well, then that would be 23 if Corey's 18.
I think he's closer to 21, 22.
Yeah. Regardless, they still had him.
What is he? Like, he's supposed to be like a junior. I don't know. The timetables are all so messed up.
Timetables are really, because we skipped time at one point. Yeah. And yeah, it's very confusing. But they did elope and they're like, yeah, her folks didn't think I'd amount to anything. And we showed them and they're all like super like cuddly and cutesy and like, oh, we have a new baby and now our babies are getting married. And Topanga says, what about you guys? Did grandma and grandpa think you'd make it? Oh, and this is so heartbreaking. Her mom is just like, yeah, they did. They thought we'd make it. They thought we'd be together forever. And she starts crying and I hated. Wow. Jedediah just turns to her and he says, don't. This is so rude.
Okay. This imposter is the worst. I wish that Topanga would remember that this isn't her real dad and be like, wait a minute. Who are you? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Old Jedediah would never.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I feel like this doesn't make any sense for who we knew Jedediah to be. And he's just like, he just tells her don't. And then her mom says, so did I. And so she's like, I'm really sorry. And freaking Jedediah's like, not now. And Topanga says, why are you crying? You're scaring me. And they say, oh, I thought I could do this, but I can't. And Amy and Alan are like, let's go feed the baby and get on out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it's about time. They had to get out of here. It's way too awkward.
Yeah. And so this is when we get like the information from her parents. Like, we argue all the time. And her dad is just like really not wanting to say anything to them, whereas her mom's trying to be honest. This is like a tough position to be in, right? It's like, do you tell the truth or do you try to put on a brave face for truth. Like, just I mean,
at this point, yeah, tell the truth.
You kind of have to. And they said, haven't you ever wondered why we let you stay here when we moved to Pittsburgh? And Corey's like, because of me.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think, I mean, what are they saying in this situation, that they wanted alone time to figure stuff out?
I think so. They said they think that they could take time together by themselves to work stuff out.
I don't think that was the only reason. They said last time is because of her schooling. They didn't want to relocate her.
I think it could be both. I think it could be both. I think, right. I'm trying to remember. Wasn't the reason they moved, one of the parents got a new job? I'm pretty sure that was the reason originally. Yeah,
probably.
And they didn't, they're saying like, we didn't want to dump this on you. We wanted to wait until after the wedding, and they really tried, but it's not working. And Topanga says, you guys will get through this. And her mom says, marriage is not something to get through, Topanga. It's not why I got married. I mean, I sort of disagree with that statement, just in the fact of like, everybody has their ups and downs. And sometimes you are going to have to work through stuff.
Yeah, I think marriage is definitely work. I also like how she told Corey that it has nothing to do with him. Like, they love him. So,
yeah,
I thought that was nice, at least, because she didn't have to say that to Corey. And I think it's something that he really appreciates.
Yeah, he needed to hear it. You know, he's thinking a lot. Some of this is his fault.
Exactly.
They say, maybe we just got married too young. And I'm like, hoi! You know, like, Topanga hears that for sure. You know, that's sinking into her brain. And she's really upset throughout all of this. And I can't really blame her. She's still really young, you know, like, hearing that your parents are breaking up is probably never easy, but especially not when like you've had this false sense of who they are. And she wasn't around when they fought. So this is for her coming completely out of the blue.
Right. Yeah. It's not like, once again, like a Dawson Leary situation where he catches them cheating or, you know, having rendezvous on Thursdays. It's something totally different. And I can imagine this is tough on Topanga. It's a blindside. It's really a blindside. She thought that they had the perfect relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Then we go to Feeney's wedding. Sean and Angela arrive together. And Angela's like, listen, we're not together. We're not here as a couple. I'll sit with you. Maybe I'll dance with you. We're not together. He's like, you've already reminded me.
Three times in the car. Where do they think that they're dancing? There is nowhere to dance.
There's no room. This is the most packed ceremony, to the point where Angela and Sean have to stand on the stairs. They don't even have seating.
They don't even get a seat. It's ridiculous. This is
so stupid.
And they also show up so late to the fact that
it's about to happen. It's literally about to happen.
That is so rude. How are they so late? Morgan is coming down the stairs as a flower girl, and they just arrived.
Yeah. And of course, Sean is just like, oh my God, Morgan's a flower girl. Give me a kiss. I did really love the scene between Eric and Feeney, though, where he's like, I'm really going to miss you, Mr. Feeney. And he's like, oh, I'll miss you too, my boy. He's like, but I'll be back from Aruba in 2 weeks. And he's like, oh, I'm thinking of doing some traveling myself. And he's like, don't worry. I'm not going to Aruba. Eric would do that.
He would. Did you have a feeling that Eric was thinking that he was going to like run away? This felt very like, oh, I'm not going to see you again because I'm leaving, not
it
you.
It did feel like that. But I also remembered the conversation he had with Sean and like how Sean went on a trip and had this revelation. And for Eric, it would make sense for him to go on a trip to expect to have a revelation. You know, yeah,
that's true.
Also, can I just point out the seating arrangements are completely fucked in this scene? We have. Okay. We have Rachel and Jack front row seats. Front row seats. The parents, the two sets of parents, Amy and Alan and Topanga's parents, are sitting in the row behind them.
Why are the Lawrences there? They don't know the Feeney and the Dean.
Doesn't make sense. We have, so Eric goes and sits down, and we have Topanga and Corey kind of sitting on the side. Angela and Sean are standing. The Dean comes downstairs. She's wearing like a cute little pantsuit number. Her hair is like in a back, like a messy bun. I don't know about this look. But they start the wedding. George and Lila have chosen to express their love in their own words. And oh my God, Oh my God. I love Delilah's vow so much. She says, quietly, I've searched for my love for much of my life. And now that I begin this marriage of our spirits, I realize how incredibly lucky I am to have found it. My only sadness is that I found you so late in life. Yeah. That we've lived our lives spending more days apart than together. This is like very, very sweet. I loved that.
It is. I wonder, I don't know. I wonder if they had, they're both very academic people. I wonder if they had any say in writing these vows to one another, even though they, you know, it doesn't really, it's not really apt to their real relationship. I wonder if they had any say in any of what they were saying.
I would love that if they did. I think that would be really sweet. Feeny says, you've given me your love and friendship, and I promise I'll make up for that lost time. And Lila says, for marriage is based on those things, but friendship most of all. And so they get married. And meanwhile, we're watching, like, Corey's parents are like kissing and smoochy smoochy. Okay, they really tried hard with Topanga's parents. They're not even like sitting straightforward. They're like turned away from each other.
And then Topanga is like blubbering, crying. Yeah, watching them.
And there's a reason. I mean, obviously the reason they're sat in these positions is so that we can get a clear view of Topanga as she's sobbing, as like her parents are not even looking at each other. And so they get married, they kiss the bride. And Topanga is like so upset. She can't. Oh, and we also have Sean and Angela. Like, Sean keeps trying to put his hand on Angela's and she keeps pulling it away. And finally, he like puts his arm around her shoulder and she like leans into him. It's like a pretty sweet moment.
It was kind of cute. It was pretty sweet. Corey's suit is the ugliest thing that I've ever seen in my life.
It's really ugly.
It's like brown, but it's like mushroomy brown.
It's mushroom. Mushroom is the color. Yes. Yeah. It's like a gray brown.
Yeah.
It's ugly.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty like much the worst suit I've ever seen him in.
Yeah. It's terrible. And so after they are pronounced man and wife and kiss, everyone is clapping except Topanga, who is crying. Corey does give her a little kiss, and I thought that was like sweet to try to comfort her. But the phone rings. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, the phone rings. Why did they not unplug the phone? This is so rude. The phone's ringing right when they're kissing the bride. It's just,
it's very rude. They should have unplugged the phone for the ceremony. Unplugged
the phone. We're all about unplugged ceremonies. Also, if you can't have enough seats for everybody, then you should not have this in your home.
No, do it, like you said, do it on campus. I'm sure they have some lovely gardens. Like, this is also, we know it's about to be summer, so it's warm enough outside to do it.
Exactly. And there's chairs around the dining table in the kitchen. You can't bring those chairs in.
It's a shit show. I don't think Amy was prepared. She has a newborn and she's trying to plan a fucking wedding in like 2 days. Get the fuck out of here.
I see, for all these people, three things of champagne and three bottles of water.
It's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
These people are going to be parched.
They're gonna starve and be thirsty all at the same time.
What's the food situation here?
We did see it. There's a cake in the kitchen. Like a three-tier cake. Lots of presents. They did get lots of presents.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's worth it because I love presents.
Yeah. And so Corey picks up the phone and he says, no, it's the guy from the wedding place. And he's like, no, we haven't gotten back to you yet. No, I don't think July is going to work. We're going to still think about it, because he's looking at Topanga, who is just sobbing, staring at her parents.
Yeah. I mean, I think it makes sense. It is too soon. I think that the family has their own dramas now. They probably have to relook at finances. You know, divorces and separations are expensive.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's all it's putting doubt in her mind about love, you know, it's tough for her to right now. And I think this makes sense. Pause everything. Let Topanga deal with this like family stuff. And then revisit. And that's the end of the season. It's kind of a weird end to the season. Like, right? I don't know. It just felt a little strange as a season finale.
I guess. I mean, there wasn't like a big thing. I just think that what they wanted us to do was doubt the Corey and Topanga relationship, even though we know that they're super solid.
Yeah, I think so. I did put doubt in our heads about Jack and Rachel, though. I feel like that hit home real hard, you know, like that was kind of a moment for them. But that's our season. And of course, as is the huge here, we're going to be doing a wrap-up episode next podcast. So we'll have a little bit of time before we start season 7. So next week, we'll be releasing a wrap-up of season 6, talking about our MVPs, LVPs, the huge, talking through our favorite episodes, least favorite episodes, all of that great stuff. Any final thoughts before we end this podcast, Sarah? Anything, final thoughts on the finale of season 6?
I did like the finale. I thought that it was interesting to see Topanga's family dynamic, and Topanga's been so sure of this wedding. Well, at times, but you know, she's been really trying to push the ball forward, and yeah. It's kind of nice if Topanga maybe gets more so on Corey's level, at least a little bit.
I agree with that. I think to me, the weakest part is just the recast. I think it doesn't track with who we know Topanga's parents to be. Yeah. And that is what hurt it the most. I really liked the Sean and Eric conversation that we got to see. I like the general thing of like, yeah, let's give Topanga some hard moments for wedding planning. She's not always going to be, you know, solid as a rock of like wanting to get married. Yeah. So
it makes me hopeful that there's going to be Topanga centric episodes next season, our last season as well.
Yeah. We still have one more full season to go through, 23 episodes left, to cover of the show. So that's exciting. What else do you have going on here and elsewhere, Sarah, and where can people find you?
Yeah, I think we have two more episodes till the end of season 4 of Dawson's Creek. So we'll wind up having another recap as well and start a new season. We just released our bonus content for August, Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. Had a great time talking about that with Adam. And then over at Posher Recaps, Jessica and I finished our coverage of Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin, and a few more episodes of A League of Their Own with Grace and Marissa. So all good things over at Shit 90s Shows Taught Me and at Posher Recaps. You can find us at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson.
Fantastic. Of course, you can also hear me finishing up coverage on Paper Girls over on Posher Recaps and continuing on with season 3 coverage of Community on Community Building, also on Posher Recaps. You can find me at The Just Sterling. And of course, we will be back in just 1 week to recap all of season 6, talk through our faves and not so faves. So exciting stuff. One more season to go. Can't wait. Talk to you all next week. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. Right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.